If you have a copy of God's Word, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Be praying this morning that the Lord would speak to your heart and to my heart and encourage us. Apostle Paul was a man of many experiences. He was blessed with divine revelation. He was taught of the Lord Jesus Christ and taught of the Holy Spirit. And he lived what he taught. He says in verse 4 of 2 Corinthians 10, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." May we pray. Father, we pray for your assistance. The Holy Spirit would open up our hearts and minds to receive the engrafted word to build us up in the faith of the gospel. And we give you the thanks and the glory and the praise and all honor to the name of Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. The thought I want to preach on this morning is in that text, mighty through God, verse 4. Mighty through God. If that wasn't true, you and I could not live the Christian life. And he says here that the weapons that we are to use are not carnal. We're not going to use the weapons of the world, psychology, trickery, and all these things that the world uses. But they're mighty through God. So the weapons of prayer is only mighty if it's through God. We pray in the Spirit. Reading the Scriptures, it's one of the weapons that we have, the sword of the Spirit. As we read the Word of God, it's only mighty through God if God opens up our heart and applies it to our soul and speaks to us. Faith is only strong when God is the anchor of faith and gives us the faith, which is the faith of God's elect. So there's so many things we see here. But what I want to bring out to you this morning is to show you how much we need the Lord. How much we need the Lord. Turn to Hebrews chapter 13. We're going to look at verse 6. Hebrews 13, verse 6. The thought in this verse is, the Lord is my helper. The Lord is my helper. It says in verse 6, "So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me." So that shows you that if the Lord is on your side, it helps take away fear, the fear of man. And we must each day wake up in the morning and come and realize this: the Lord is my helper today. He promised, "I'll never leave thee, I'll never forsake thee," so we may boldly say, "The Lord is my helper." In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest," talking about Jesus Christ, "that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession." In other words, because of the resurrection, the ascension of Jesus Christ, let's hold fast and be faithful of our confession of Jesus Christ as our Lord and Master. Notice verse 16 of chapter 4. "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy." Now we are to receive mercy. Why? Because Christ is a priest praying for us. His sacrifice on Calvary, his blood shed, he shed his blood. He made atonement for sin. So we can ask him for mercy and for forgiveness, Brother Dave. God says in one of the epistles through Paul, that God hath forgiven you for Christ's sake. For Christ's sake. Everything's in Christ, beloved. From the beginning to the end, everything, the circumference, the center, is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. As we've seen earlier in sermons that we preached, we were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world, chosen in Him. So we see we have a high priest that passed into the heavens. He's at the right hand of God. He's making intercessions for us. And we go to Him to prayer, to obtain mercy, and to find what? Grace to help in a time of need. Now, we claim to be a needy people, and we are in need every day of our lives. We need the grace of God. We need wisdom. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. God gives us wisdom. Every time in our lives we feel we have no strength, Jesus is our strength, as we're going to see, to find grace to help in time of need. Now, who is your helper this morning? I want you to face this. You're not alone. We walk with Him. We talk with Him on a daily basis. The Almighty God. Now, here's another phrase of God, Jesus Christ. He's called the Almighty God. In Revelation 1:8, it says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. The Almighty is on our side. Who is the helper? The Almighty. The Almighty God. Notice in Revelation 15:3, and they sang a song of Moses, the servant of God, in the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty, just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Thy King of saints. Almighty, Almighty. Lord God Almighty. When you're going through a trial, and I'm going through a trial, remember, who is your helper? The Lord God Almighty. Now, if He's Almighty, there's no one else above Him. He's the Almighty One. There is no one except God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit in their essence are the Almighty, Almighty God. And they are a helper. Hallelujah. We're not alone in this battle. You know, if we had to face Satan by ourselves, we'd be defeated before we started. But God wants us to know that the Lord is our helper and that He's the Almighty God. And this is illustrated. The Almighty God is the Creator. The Creator. In Colossians 1:16, for by Him were all things created. Talking about Jesus Christ in His person as the Son of God. That are in heaven and that are in earth. Visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or power. All things were created by Him and for Him. That's the one who is your helper. He's the Creator of this universe. You know, I really get amazed sometimes when I see these pictures that these scopes have taken as they go out into space of the galaxies and all the stars. And I say, ooh, isn't that wonderful? My Father is the Creator. And the Son is the Creator of all these things. God. In the beginning, God created heaven and earth. In their essence, they're one. So in one sense, they all created everything as God, omnipotent power. It says in verse 17, and He is before all things. Jesus Christ is before all things. And by Him, all things consist. Hebrews chapter 1:2 says, hath in the last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds. He made the worlds. Who did? Jesus Christ. Oh, beloved, so as you think about your helper, He's the Almighty God. He's the Creator of the universe. He's the Creator of earth. He's the Creator of everything in the earth. Oh, beloved, what a blessing that is. And as we think about our helper, He's also called the Great I Am. The Great I Am. In the book of Exodus, in chapter 3, verse 14, and God said unto Moses, I am that I am. What does that mean? He's the self-existing one. Self-existing one. And he said, thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. The great I am. The great self-existent, eternal, everlasting God, the Almighty. That's the person who's our helper. He helps us. When we cry unto him, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. God Almighty is there. The great I am, the Creator. He is our helper. We are not alone. You don't face the enemy by yourself. I don't want you to think that you're going to try to live the Christian life in your own strength, in your own power. No, it's in the power of Almighty God. It's in his strength we face the enemy. Jesus said in John 8:58, Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. When the Jews said, how can that be? You're not even 50 years old yet. In his person, as a son of God, he was before Abraham. He was before everyone, boy, because he's before all things. Before there was a creation, before there was a world, there was the great I am, which is Jesus Christ. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus was in the beginning, before the creation of everything. He was in there, he was with fellowship with God. The same was in the beginning with God. Verse 3, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. All things were made by him. He created everything you see in this universe, the earth and the stars and the galaxies, the birds, the beasts, mankind, everything was created by him and for him, for his glory. And as we come down to that same chapter, verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. There we see God manifested in flesh. God became a man. He was manifested in flesh. What a blessing that is. He came to die as our substitute. He came to give us life and more abundantly. In the book of Revelation, chapter 19 and verse 13, and he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God, same as it was in John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word of God is the name of Jesus. Revelation 19:14 says, and the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, 19:16 of Revelation. King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the Almighty God. He is our helper, Brother Dave. He's our strength. He's our peace. He's our joy. He's everything that we need in the Christian life. We are not alone. I want you to realize you're walking with God. You're walking with God. It says the Enoch walked with God and God took him. One day God's going to take us out of here. The day's coming when the second coming of Christ, when he's going to come and bring his children home. Oh, beloved, we're all waiting and looking forward to that day. And then as we come on down, I come down to this part. As Paul says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, I say with the Apostle Paul, finally, my brethren, as you look at all the things I've described, that God is your, he's your helper, he's the Almighty God, he's the Creator, the Almighty God, he's the great I am, he's the Word, he's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Finally, my brethren. Because of all of that, what we have described to you, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. You can see why Paul was coming from. He knew who God was. He had his eyes on the Lord, And he says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Beloved, this is encouraging to you and I. Very encouraging. It means being empowered is in the passive voice. That means we're not doing anything. In the Lord means in union with the Lord. As we pray, this is the importance of prayer. As you pray to the Lord, God is strengthening you with his power. So where does our power come from? It comes through our fellowship with God in prayer. You say, well, I don't have much strength. How often do you pray? See, it's one of the things we need to pray. God makes us mighty, mighty through God, through prayer. He strengthens us, as we're going to see, through prayer. And in the might of the strength of him. As you think about that, in his might, the almighty power of God and the strength of him, beloved, we have so much on our side to rejoice in and be grateful for. No wonder Paul says in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me, who's infusing strength into me. Again, he does that as we fellowship in his word, as we pray, as we seek God. He strengthens us. Gives us that ability to keep on keeping on. In other words, you could look at it in this way. And all power, okay, let me go back. It's in the active force. Christ is the one doing the strengthening. Christ is the one doing the strength, they're empowering, so that we can do what? All things to the glory of God. I can do all things. If he stopped there, we'd say, well, we're self-sufficient. We can do it. But he puts a clause there. I can do all things through Christ. Never. You cannot separate your strength from Christ. You cannot separate obedience from Christ. And Christ works through the Holy Spirit. We cannot live the Christian life except through Christ. Through Christ. Now, remember that. We are Christians. And Christians are what? To be Christ-like. And in Colossians chapter 1, verse 11, it says, strengthen with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, in all power being empowered, according to the power of the glory of him. Paul used such language, such majesty, such glory, that we stand back amazed at how he described what we are in Christ, Brother Dave. In all power, in the words, being in God's power, we're being empowered. That's wonderful, isn't it? As you eat food and digest that food, you're digesting it, is giving you physical strength and energy. As you and I pray and seek the Lord, and we are in fellowship with him in his power, as we're in his power, we are inwardly, spiritually being empowered to live the Christian life. Oh, beloved. No wonder Jesus says, without me, you can do nothing. It's all about Christ. From Genesis all the way to the book of Revelation, it's all about Christ, beloved, all about Christ. So when you think about the Christian life, realize it's only with Christ that you can live the Christian life. Notice some of Paul's testimony. Now you say, well, Paul was an apostle, but I think these things are true to us in a sense too. It's by faith, by faith. He says in 2 Timothy, Chapter 4, verse 17. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. What did he say? The Lord stood with me. The Lord stood with me. What can you and I say today when we're going through a conflict? David says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. How do we do that? By faith. God said it, as we're going to see as we go on down. The Lord stood with me and strengthened me. What does he give us when we're weak? He says, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. Nothing wrong to confess that you're weak. Some people are afraid to admit that they're weak. Somebody to look down on them. Hey, we're all weak spiritually. We need the strength of the Lord. It never says your strength or your righteousness. It's God's righteousness and God's strength that we're to live day by day. Oh, hallelujah. Beloved, we are winning this battle. Paul says we're more than conquerors through him that loved us and died and gave himself for us. He says also, he that beginneth good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He's going to finish the work that he began in salvation from eternity. He's going to bring us all home. Bring us all home safely. It's just a little while and we'll be home. For all of us. As you live your life as a young person, you're married, you have children, you plan on retirement, you do these things. One fellow says, plan your life as if you're going to live 500 years. But live your life as though Christ is going to come at any moment. That's good advice. Plan your life. Work. You can save for a rainy day. Do things like you would do. Be wise stewards of what God gives you. But at the same time, live your life as though Christ could come at any moment. It says in John that many shall be ashamed at his appearing. I pray by God's grace that I won't be one of those that will be ashamed at his appearing. So we see here, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me that by me the preaching might be fully known. See, God has given us strength and is with us that we might testify to others. God calls out his elect through the gospel. As Dave mentioned last week in Romans chapter 10, how can I hear without a preacher? Conversion comes through the preaching of the gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So we are to be witnesses to the Lord. Why does he give us strength? That we can glory in our strength? Now we glory in the Lord, yes, but to help others. We take in, we give out for the glory of God. Also in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 16, we see how this all fits together. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit, were in the inner man. Now, where does God strengthen us? It's the inner man that needs strengthening, not this physical body. We pray for health, but we pray for inner strength in the inner man. In other words, in the new man, which has been born again of the Spirit of God. Now notice the next verse, how it fits together. Ephesians 3:20 goes right along with Ephesians 3:16. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly, that word abundantly means superabundantly in the Greek, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us or operating in us. Where is it operating at? In the inner man. God's power is operating in the inner man, operating in us. Oh, beloved, think about this. God is not only walking with us, but his power is operating in the inner man, in our spiritual part of us, to give us life, the abundant life in Jesus Christ. See how this all fits together? How beautiful it is to see that the Lord has everything into his control. Everything. As we come down to the next thought, Christ is head over all things to the church. Dave knows where that comes from, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22. It says, and Christ, it says here in Ephesians 1, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church. Christ is the head over everything that comes against the church. That's why it says the gates of hell shall not prevail against his church. Why? because he's the head of all principalities and powers. He's the one who's in control. Satan is the god of this world, small g. He is called the prince and power of the air. He is the enemy of God's people. He is the roaring lion walking about, seeking whom he may devour. But there is one that's greater than he is. It's the Almighty God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And beloved, he's the head and over Satan, and the demons of this world are all under his sovereignty. As it says in the book of Job, you can go so far, but don't you touch his life. He had permission to make him sick and bring boils upon him. His children were taken away. He's lost everything. But God says, don't touch his life. Satan says, oh, if you'll do this, he'll curse God. He'll curse you and deny you. See, Satan's always, he's the accuser of the brethren before God. He goes before God. So Jesus, the head of all things to the church. This brings us down to Matthew 28. In verse 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. What is Brother Dave, Brother Roger, and myself to teach you? All things that the Lord has taught us in his word. The word of God, the gospel, the faith, the common salvation, the faith once delivered unto the saints. That means the teaching of God's word is what we're to teach. Everything that Christ taught, we're to teach. We're not to hold back anything. Paul says, I've taught you the whole counsel of God. We're to preach and to teach the whole counsel of God. Jesus says, as I've commanded you, and now here's the part I want to leave with you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. Who's with us? Jesus says, I'm with you. He's with the church. He's with each believer. He said, I'm with you even to the end of the world. I remember reading one time in a book, I don't remember the book, about a Chinese believer. And he was always getting excited. So he came to church one Sunday, and oh, he was just having a glorious time. I said, what's wrong with you? He said, oh, I read in the Bible. The Lord talked to me personally. He mentioned my name personally. And they said, where at? He says, in Matthew 28 and verse 20. And he says, what did he say? He says, lo, I am with you always unto the end of the age, world. That was his name in Chinese. Lo, I am with you. That's why he got so excited. But that's how we should read that. Put your name in there. Mabel, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Dave, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Sue, Bill, each one of us that's here, I'm with you always unto the end of the world or the end of your life. Make it personal. Make it personal. We have to claim the promises of God. And as you think about him being with us until the end of the world, these next three things, we could preach a sermon on these, but I'm just going to mention a few things. As your prophet to teach you. He's our prophet. He teaches us. Ephesians chapter 4, Brother Dave, where he says, you have not so learned Christ. Christ teaches us through the word of God, and he enlightens us with the Holy Spirit to know the things which are freely given us. As your priest to pray for you. Aren't you glad? Sometimes I may forget to pray for you. You may forget to pray for me. But you know, there's one who never forgets. We are the apple of his eye. He loved us and died and gave himself for us. And what is he doing at this very moment? He's interceding for you and I. He ever liveth to make intercessions for us. He's able to save them that come unto God by him. Oh, beloved, what a blessing as we think about Christ, our high priest, over the house of God. Yes, we have a priest to go to, and his name is Jesus Christ, the high priest of the church of God. As your king to rule over you. See, some people want a savior, but they don't want a king. They want to go to church and hear that they're okay, that they're safe, but they want to go and do anything they want to do, live like they want to live. be ungodly, be wicked, run with the world, and when they get to the end, they want to go to heaven. It doesn't work like that. As a tree falls, it shall leave. If you have not changed in your life, there has not been a desire for God, a desire for the things of God, no change in your life, beloved, you should be concerned. Because it's coming a day of judgment for everyone. The king to rule over you. He said, why call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? What's the first thing a believer should do, according to the scriptures? Is to follow Christ in baptism. Now that's a command. That's not advice to anyone. That is a command of Jesus Christ to all believers. Follow me. What are you to do? You are to follow Christ in baptism, identifying yourself with Christ in his death and burial and resurrection. That's a picture. That's a picture of salvation. To be identified with Christ. You're not ashamed. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. If you're not baptized, you're saying, I'm ashamed of the gospel. I don't want to do that. I don't want to identify myself with Christ and with Christians. People might laugh at me, make fun of me. So what? Better that they make fun of you now and then the Lord judge you in the end. Beloved, it's a privilege and an honor to believe on Jesus Christ. He gives you the ability and then to follow him in baptism to honor his death, burial, and resurrection. It's an honor to be baptized into Christ by your profession of faith. He's also the mediator to intercede for you. He's the mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. He's interceding for us. And in closing, there's so much can be said. Dave could preach another 20 sermons, Roger another 20, me another 20, and we could just touch the surface. Christ is our all in all. He's everything. Everything you need, everything you should ever desire is in Jesus Christ. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 11, Colossians 3, verse 11, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. He's everything. He's everything we need as God's people. That's why Paul says in Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Aren't you glad he started it and finished it? He didn't say, I'm going to start it, now you finish it. Because we would have never made it. He's the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And as we close this out, if you've ever read the book of Joshua, especially chapter 1, how God appeared to Joshua, I'm just going to read one of the verses, verse 9. He says to Joshua, have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage? And that same message could come to you and I as we're listening to God's voice. Be strong in the Lord and encourage yourself in the Lord. Be not afraid. Oh, that's one of the things that fear is one of the worst enemies we have. Fear. Fear. Neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said, remember, the Lord is my helper. He said, I'll never leave thee, I'll never leave thee, I'll never leave thee. I'll never forsake, never forsake, never forsake. In the Greek, there's three negatives. God wanted you and I to get it into our thick skull. He's with us. And that he'll never forsake us so that we may boldly say, what? The Lord is my helper. Hallelujah. May we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the encouragement of your word. We thank you for the scriptures, which is able to build us up in the faith and encourage us and strengthen us. Pray that that faith that you gave us, we can lay hold of these things and grow in grace and knowledge of Christ. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray and give you the honor and the glory. Amen. Amen. Someone have a song in closing.